This is the Saturday in the Park 30th Anniversary Special, presented by Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City on Classic Rock 99.5.
Classic Rock 99.5, it's Big Daddy hosting 30th Anniversary Special of Saturday in the Park. Our guest, Dave Bernstein. You had talked when you came into the studio one time down at the Hard Rock when I was down there, the day that Aretha Franklin had died. Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, played Saturday in the Park, and it's interesting that you would talk about the money situation, and I was going to ask you this.
Aretha was great.
With the money, and if it was the same way for people like Chuck Berry and B.B. King, those black artists that had to come up fighting and kicking and clawing
the whole
way. And
it's all because they all got screwed so bad.
And it was interesting.
And it was wrong. You know, it was those guys all had publishing with, like, you know, Chuck Berry and two other dudes. One guy he didn't even know, you know, that somehow got put on the publishing. And I'm sure people were fronting money or whatever, but it was never clear where the money was going. I think all those guys got ripped off, so they became super paranoid. Rightfully so. BB, I think, had a different perspective. I think he'd always done well. Maybe he was managed a little better. Maybe he wasn't as focused on the money. BB was real appreciative, and I think he'd just done well for so long. Aretha was a little up and down. She didn't have a manager. She kind of managed herself. She had a really good agent. You dealt with Aretha, right? Like, she ran the show. Chuck, I think, was super paranoid. He had a similar management scenario, William Morris. Chuck was a little different in that when you book Chuck, if the contract said he'd do 60 minutes, and if that contract said 7 o'clock, your clock started at 7 o'clock. It didn't freaking matter what was going on. I mean, there was no adjusting. You know, so Chuck rolled in a rental Lincoln, whatever. I remember he flew into Omaha. I could barely get out of the agent where he was flying to because he wouldn't let us pick him up. And I was paranoid, like he was going to get lost. So I had a dude go down and just wait at the airport. It was back when you could, I don't know if he waited outside of security or how that worked, but whatever it was, whoever I had go down there tailed him the whole way back. And at one point, Chuck took a wrong turn and they cut him off and sent him back. You know, so Chuck rolls in and he went in the dressing room, and I still vividly remember John Stever at the time was production manager, and John knew how it worked with Chuck as well. I think, say, he went on at 7. We made sure that stage was ready by like 10 till. And it was ready, right? Like, all the pre-announces were done. Everything was done. We hired this band that came out of California, that LA, that played with them. The guy said they played about half the dates. I mean, we could have hired local here, but we just felt it would be too chaotic. It was already chaotic. I worked with Chuck once before at a Gateway gig, so I kind of knew. These guys came in and they're like, listen, Chuck recognizes us about half the time. You know, he probably always recognizes us, but sometimes he's like, hey, what's up? And then sometimes he's... We were ready, right? And I just remember John, the minute Chuck walked out of his dressing room, you know, John came running, like his arms waving up the center stairs, and he was like, let's go, let's go. You know, and we wanted every minute, right? Chuck tore it up for 60 minutes. You know, the guy was just epic, played an amazing set. And then I remember he walked down the side steps, and he was sitting there in a chair, just at the bottom of the steps, breathing pretty heavy. He was well into his 70s at the time. And I walked up to him and I just said, hey, you know, Mr. Berry, can we, you know, incentivize you to do an encore? And he was just, he was really nice about it, but he's just like, no, I can't, you know, I'm just, no. I'm wiped. But it was great.
I was at that show. It was incredible.
Yeah. And I think he walked by John on the way down the stairs and he said, how was that? That's like George just did that in 2009 Thurgood, as I think he was feeling a little miffed or trying to figure out, you know, that mix of Thurgood and Florida was a little, it was last minute because we couldn't get someone else booked, and the Thurgood guys were cool about it, but I don't know, it was fully vetted out. And I remember George walking off the stage and he was like, that's what they pay the big bucks for, or something like that. You know, line like that.
Was he upset that he didn't get the headline? Flo Rida was a headliner, if I remember right.
It was kind of a co. We did a co on that. But yeah, no, George was like, screw this. I'm going to blow this. I'll show you guys. Like, how this is going to work right here.
He did some very, very bad things that night.
He was awesome. I mean, he was great. You know, he tore it up.
And away we go!
Bye.
took her man by my hand. She said, "Lonesome George, you know, understand. Who do you love? Who do you love, baby?" I walk around the town, he was a rider sneaker with me. Take it, baby, don't you give me no lip. Sticks can choose, baby, put them on your feet.
The Saturday in the Park 30th Anniversary Special, presented by Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City on Classic Rock 99.5.